Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. Welcome back to another episode. Got a great one lined up for you today. Got singer, songwriter, and pianist Lawrence Elder is here today talking about a brand new album and a new single of the same name. It's called Walk Another Mile. Really good song and video. You need to check it out. I think you're going to love it. Reminds me of the old school music from the 80s, maybe early 90s, you know, laid back. And you're going to love it. Had a great time talking with him about a whole lot of different subjects, about songwriting and things like that in his career. And got some great musicians on the album. And we're going to talk about it right now. So here we go. Here's Lawrence Elder.
I've been checking out your music and it's really good stuff. I mean, it kind of makes you think about a lot of things, you know, when you're listening to your music. I know it probably comes out in your songwriting, some of your, the things that's on your mind, on your heart, in your life.
Absolutely.
How does that come about? Like, for instance, Walk Another Mile. Now, what's the story behind that song?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, that song is about perseverance. And it's about the ups and downs of life. And it's really meant to have an optimistic message about, you know, everybody is walking another mile in whatever that means to them, you know. And sometimes those miles can be easy and sometimes those can be challenging. And, you know, you got joys and sorrows, but everybody's walking their walk. And in some ways, we're walking that walk together. In some ways, we're walking it solo. But it's really meant to say, you know, whatever that mile is for you, just keep going. Even when things seem to be at their toughest, you know, walk another mile. The timing of this release is kind of interesting because you asked about if there's a story. And I wrote the song quite a few years ago, and it went through a few different incarnations before it made it onto the album. The album of the same name, title track, Walk Another Mile. And then we had just planned on releasing this video in January, which we just did. But I originally wrote that song, was inspired by my dad. And, you know, sometimes a song, well, you'll have a kernel of inspiration that'll kind of give you an idea to do something, but then it sort of grows. So maybe it started out about him, but then I realized, oh, this is a message that other people can connect to in different ways. Sure. My dad was experiencing a loss. Somebody close to him passed. And I was like my way of telling him, you know, don't give up. You know, there's more love out there and walk another mile. And it was actually one of the easiest songs I ever wrote. You hear people, songwriters talk about sometimes something just comes to them and like they write it in 5 minutes. Right. I'm generally a little bit more of a laborious writer. I'll sit and slave over lyrics for, you know, longer than I care to admit.
Sure.
But in the case of this song, I felt like it just kind of came to me very cleanly. So here's the rest. Now for the rest of the story, and I couldn't have planned this or scripted it and wouldn't have wanted it to happen this way, but my dad just passed away 2 weeks ago. Mm.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And obviously that's just a super tough thing to go through. And I need to take a little bit of my own medicine as far as walking another mile with that. But I feel as though in a way it's in honor of him, in a way that the song came out because it was written for him, kind of coming full circle in some ways. So when you asked if there was a story, I guess there really is.
Yeah. I can relate to, you know, my dad's still here, but he's been through a lot. But, you know, when you see your dad and you think of people, I can see how powerful that song is now that you told me that. But to encourage somebody that's going through some things, that's a big deal. I think music does that. It brings people to a better place. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're not having the best, you know, time in their life, you know, to listen to some encouraging music sure does help out a lot. And I know it helps other people at the same time it's helping you. So it works both ways. Isn't exactly. That really the whole idea when you're making music to see who can relate to it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think by being authentic when you write, and writing something that's true to you, the rest sort of takes care of itself, and if you write it authentically about your own journey, chances are somebody else is going to see their journey in that.
And I'm sure they will when they check out the music. Like I said, great music.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. And I know that, and the style of music too, it's you're kind of jazzy, and there's different kind of pop elements in there. It reminds me of music that I grew up listening to, that you probably don't hear as much as anymore. That kind of music draws me because I'm thinking it's not over, overdone. It's not bunch of mush. It's not cheese. It's not, I'm saying, it ain't processed cheese. I mean, you can tell that you took time to write, or you took time to, musically, or it came from your heart. Even though like this song didn't take long to write, like you said, it's pure. It's a natural thing. It's not like you set out to go, I'm gonna write the cheesiest song ever and get people to like it. But it's like it came from your heart. So that's gotta be something that you thought about, though. Was there a lot of influences in there when you're thinking of writing songs? Do you think about a certain genre, or you just start writing, or how do you do that?
So I think that I generally, when something comes to me, it's pretty organic. But all the genres that I've absorbed, all the people that I've listened to, all the music that I've, practiced and just, kind of been drawn to and absorbed in different ways, sort of comes to my aid in a way. It's like, it's all just sort of there to serve what wants to come through. So it's always been in that order, not the order of, I will write this way or with this genre. It's more organic to me than that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like you said, you just it's like you're picking from the produce at the grocery store. You're picking whatever you see and you like, and you kind of add it all together. But I totally get that.
Yeah, I let it come, but I know what you mean about the a lot of people. I mean, say, they listen to my music, they hear different genres in there, and the whole genre conversation is just sort of, what's the right word for it? It's just there's so much gray, there's so much, music is music.
Sure.
Like, there's so much stuff that's really comes from so many different influences. I understand that we need to use the genres to sort of help us put things in little boxes and categorize things, and there's a place for that,
Sure.
I suppose. But I think, I look at the people that I really love, like Sting and Bruce Hornsby and Steely Dan and Stevie Wonder and James
Right.
Taylor, these are just a handful of the people. And I don't think genre, I just think great music,
There you go. I'm the same way. Yeah, you hear a song, you don't go, let me find out, make sure now it's in this category. Otherwise, I won't listen to
Yeah, exactly.
it. Well, tell me this. Now, you were named the 2023 Adult Contemporary New Artist of the Year by New Music Weekly. Was
Yeah.
that a shock to you, or how'd you find out about that?
Yeah, it was a little bit. I found out about it through the organization New Music Weekly and some individuals that I was working with as who were doing airplay promotions for me. And Walk Another Mile also was getting national airplay, reached high charting positions, number one charting positions on a couple of radio charts. And it was through that process where it got on the radar of the individuals at New Music Weekly that like give those awards. And I know some of the other people that won were like Beyonce and Harry Styles. And I was like, what? And I saw my name like next to those names. I was like, damn, that's pretty awesome. I'll take it.
Right,
I appreciate it very
that's
much,
pretty cool. Yeah,
it is.
that's got to be fascinating to see your name with that. That just means that you're good enough to be there. You know what I'm saying? It's not they didn't just randomly pick some guy and just said, "We'll stick him on this spot." you have to be good enough to make it to these charts, you know. So at least there's people out there that appreciate you and understands, you know, good music and puts you on those things, you know, and plays your music, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That means a lot because, you know, obviously we put a lot into the effort it takes to put this music out, and we do it for the love of it, for the heart of it. But to know that it's connecting with people and you know, to get some validation for it, you know, is a wonderful thing.
Sure. You had a song a while back called Now.
Yes.
It was nominated for a Posse Award. Now
that's
right. That's cool. So that was probably another exciting moment for you to hear about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially because, you know, the Posse Award, that organization that does the Posies, you know, they're all about honoring music that has a positive message. And, you know, now if nothing else is a song with a positive message. And basically it's about now is the time and love is the way. Now that may sound like a cliche, but I'm gonna, you know, give a sales pitch for cliches right now, because the reason they become cliches often is I think it's a message that people want to hear and people need to hear. And I've noticed something among some songwriters that I admire. They are more than happy to use a cliche, and then they'll often acknowledge that they're using a cliche. So I say it's okay to use a cliche as long as you like, not as long as you like, but it's like, it doesn't hurt to actually say, hey, I'm about to hit you with a big old cliche right now.
Right.
And that's okay, because sometimes that's what's needed.
Sure. I was just thinking about that. You know, I mean, because I write songs too, and I was thinking cool. about because you go in your mind, you're writing a song, you try to avoid, it's like seeing somebody you don't want to talk to at us, you know, somewhere, and you're like, you try to avoid them. So you see this cliche when you're writing a song, you go, no, can't go there, can't do that. But mm-hmm. why not? But like you said, because there's this preconceived idea that everybody's going to say, yeah, I've heard that a million times. But what if it fits exactly what you need to say? What if it's a needed element? What if somebody saying hello, good morning is a cliche? Might be, but that's what you say, you know. I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes people are afraid to say certain things because they don't want to be overdone.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just have to say what the truth is, you know. I don't know.
I exactly. I mean, hit the nail on the head. And you know, I'm thinking of a James Taylor song called Shower of the People, which you might be familiar
yes.
with.
Yes.
And there's a lyric in that song where he says, you can run, but you cannot hide. This is widely known.
Well, so, get the little, throw that in there, and then it covers it up. Yeah, I mean, that's yeah. true.
And yeah, tell me what you're going to do with your foolish pride when you're there by yourself all alone. But like, this is widely known. It's like he just like acknowledged his own cliche, because he's not the first person that said you can run, but you cannot hide. And
right.
he's freaking James Taylor. And he just said something that's been said a million times. But then he goes, I know I just did that by saying this is widely known. So anyway, I took a page out of his book, I guess, in that regard of acknowledging cliche. Because if you were talking about the song Now and the Posse Award, getting back to that, the lyric of the song actually is, so if you don't mind my cliches, now is the time and love is the way.
See, that's good.
So there you go. Yeah.
And that covers it all.
And if you do mind my cliches, you can change the channels.
Right. I don't think someone's going to go, okay, he said, I'm going to turn this
off. No, I'm out. That's it, man.
Never listen to the guy again. He's Mr. Yeah. Cliche Man.
Right.
No,
right.
I don't think so. I think, though, a lot of music, though, if you listen to some of the newer stuff, it's been done before. I think, mm-hmm. you know, what is cliche? What is it as far as music? Because I'd say about 75%, you hear a new song and it's not new. It sounds just like another song, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing I, as a songwriter, to stay away from, not, you know, so much the cliches, but the sounding like something else, you know, to make it a priority not to sound, of course you're going to sound, your influences are going to shine
yeah.
through that. But you're not going to be like, oh, this is a part two of some other band that's already had a song like that. You know, of course you don't want to do that, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of a balance there.
But listening to the music now, I was trying to figure out your sound and your style. Has anybody compared you to other artists in that? Because I was trying to think of what it reminded me of. I'm just going to see if I'm right on that. So.
I've heard some really outlandish things. But I can't remember any of those right now. Those are usually the ones I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't know.
Like Metallica or something. No.
Yeah, exactly. There was that Metallica reference, and I was just like,
That one.
I'm gonna have to think about that one. You know what I've heard a few times that I wouldn't have thought of myself was Boss Skaggs.
Okay.
I've heard of several people say that. So there was something about some aspect of what I do. I definitely get Bruce Hornsby,
Yeah.
that type of thing.
There you go. That's kind of, I'm thinking that's probably what because I was sitting there going, that piano singer songwriter style and that, but there's almost a tinge of like Chicago or something in there. I was trying to, so you got that, and that's what I was saying earlier about that music. To me, the positivity, the words with that relaxing sound of piano or the guitar, like that you got some great musicians, by the way. Been
Thank
reading
you.
about, tell me about some of those guys now. These guys are no slackers. They've been doing it a while. Tell me about those guys.
Well, no doubt. I mean, like one of the main people that I work with is Carlo Magno Araya. He's just a phenomenal drummer. He and I met in Miami. Actually, when we were at grad school at the University of Miami Jazz School, Frost School of Music, wonderful program down there. But we ended up collaborating. He played drums on both my albums. We've recorded. He has a studio in Costa Rica where he went back to his home there. He's won Grammys, he's been nominated for Grammys. He's a great producer, educator, drummer. So I'm really privileged to work with him, and that we just get to keep getting together and doing creations together. I mean, my first album, Surrounded, which came out in 2005, he and I just, boy, talk about a passion. And a project that, done for the love of it, that we just, spent so much time working on every little minute detail of that production. We were able to get really well-known guest artists from the jazz world, like Paquito de Rivera and Peter Erskine, the great drummer Peter Erskine played on that album. And then the more recent record, I was able to get Randy Brecker, who's a longtime friend and supporter of my music,
Awesome.
one of the most famous jazz musicians on the planet, and Mike Stern, the legendary
It's
Mike
right here.
Stern on guitar.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's just been, word of mouth and me just kind of, like I said, being fortunate enough to, connect. Usually it's, you connect with one person, you connect with another person through that person. Obviously, I guess they thought enough of the music that they wanted to play on the projects, which is, like I said, it's a huge privilege for me.
Yeah, I guess it does say a lot. Like you said, when somebody that's been doing it for a long time that's won all these awards, and they say, "I want to join you," and then it makes for a good sound. I mean, is there a special kind of sound that you hear? I mean, when you're writing a song, do you hear the music and you say, "I'm going to write"? Do you write the music first, or do the lyrics come? How do you venture out in your songwriting like that?
Yeah, I would say that more times than not, I mean, I do hear it, but I generally don't hear all the lyrics. And I've heard a lot of songwriters say that, like it's almost like there's a blueprint. And for me, the blueprint is largely an aural blueprint. As far as hearing the sort of oral landscape of the music, hearing the chords and the patterns and the progressions, and even what the melody is doing, and even sort of the way the melody slots into the chords, the way the phrasing sounds, but not always the actual lyrics themselves. Usually I'll get like maybe I'll get 20% of the lyrics, and I'll grab onto those phrases. But then a lot of the phrases, and I've heard a lot of writers say this, they'll just sing nonsense phrases it becomes like a placeholder in the slot where the lyric is until you come up with the actual lyric. And to me, that's actually one of the hardest things, is going back then and sort of backfilling those slotted out places where you don't have the lyric yet. And it's got to have just the right vowel sound and just the right articulation. It has to mean what you want it to mean, obviously. To me, that's the craft. And that's where you just kind of like, I lock myself in a room with a thesaurus, and sometimes I hit pay dirt, and other times, it's back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Is there like a target that you try to hit and nail? I mean, is there something like, do you envision like the song and go, here's the target, I got to hit it, and you go for that target? Or do you kind of venture off as you go along and kind of, does it kind of go to the right or left of the target a little bit and you go with that? Or you have a set mind of what you want? You got, this is it, I want to go there. Or are you more free and kind of letting it flow a little bit?
I would say it's both, and I balance both of those. Like, especially if I get a brand new idea, a lot of times if I get a brand new idea, I do the flow thing and just let it go wherever it wants to go. But there's a point where I start kind of forming it, and I kind of get into a bit more of a formal structure. I start trying to find, like, I don't always know what the song is trying to tell me or what the song wants to tell other people. But sometimes I do. So, I know a lot of writers, and this is a concept that works well for me, is, say, I've heard Sting and many people talk about this, is that you got to start with an idea. And then that becomes like the thesis that everything revolves around. So I don't necessarily have to do that from the first moment I'm writing, but there's a point where I do. There's a point where I go, okay, I got this beautiful mess right now. I need to start finding out what this song really wants to say. And that's when I get into the little bit where I become a little bit more disciplined about, what tools I'm using and how I'm using them, and kind of narrowing things down to get to a finer point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. But that's a good way to do things. And I guess you do that every time you get ready to do a song, and you're kind of seeing where it goes and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the ideas are flowing around, but I guess you have to have a basic concept of what you want to write about. I guess a basic topic, right? Or
I
an
do.
idea.
I think you do at some point if you don't already. Like, sometimes I'll allow myself not to have that if it isn't coming, and I'll just like go with the sound of the song or the feel of the song. It's not always that I know the topic right off the bat, but there's a point where I need to like go, okay, what's this song going to be about anyway?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And like when I was saying, I wrote Walk Another Mile real quick, that was one of those ones where I did know right, I knew right away what it was about.
Well, tell me this, go back a little bit in your life, and how did you start into music? What got you into it? I know probably as a kid, you probably like me and listened to the radio and heard all these musicians that you love, like you said, Stevie Wonder, people like that. But what was it that told you, like, I just have to do this. I gotta do music. I gotta play.
Yeah.
I gotta be involved musically somehow. How did you start in that?
Well, from a really early age, I mean, there was a Steinway piano sitting in the living room of my parents' house, and my dad played piano. So I was, I loved listening to him play, and I know that that inspired me. My mother played guitar and sang, and she was a Bob Dylan freak. So I like to say sometimes I had Bob Dylan infused into me in the womb, because she'd be, even when she was pregnant with me, she was like strumming that guitar and belting out Bob Dylan tunes. And my dad was playing like, Chopin or something on the piano. But I remember being literally eye level with the keyboard of the piano in the living room, right? So when you're that short, you're just looking at those keys and they're right there. And I remember just being fascinated, bringing my hands up and just like wanting to play. So I was just drawn to it from an early age, almost beyond anything you could really explain rationally. It was just something that called to me. I played a lot by ear growing up. I listened to classical recordings and tried to sit down and play stuff by Franz Liszt. I was hearing. I probably didn't play it note for note, but I did a reasonable imitation. And then I started getting into prog rock bands in my teens. I was listening to Yes and ELP and Rush and
Sure.
stuff. These sort of jazz influenced musicians like Rick Wakeman. I was a huge Rick Wakeman fan, and I fancied myself as a sort of Rick Wakeman acolyte. I used to go down to the music stores on 48th Street in Manhattan and stand next to 16 keyboards behind me and have a friend take a picture of me of it, like me surrounded by keyboards. So,
Cool.
that was just it was just in my blood, and as just on a soul level, it was just something I wanted to do. And then I would just fast forward a little bit to my first real band I was in. And I was late teens now, like 19-ish. And I played my first band, which had a interesting name. The band was called Absolutely Curtains.
Okay, cool.
And for those who are total Pink Floyd, deep Pink Floyd fans, they might remember that that's the name of a Pink Floyd song off of a very early album. I believe it was from Obscured by Clouds.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, like with when Syd Barrett was with Pink Floyd, and one of the people in our band was a Pink Floyd. I mean, I loved, loved, loved Pink Floyd, and so I've definitely been influenced by really great rock bands too, like Pink Floyd, like Led Zeppelin, like I said, like the prog rock bands. But anyway, I played in this band called Absolute Curtains, and that was my first real taste of playing in a group and playing for audiences. And that's when I was like, this is what I want to do. No, no turning back.
Awesome. And
Yeah.
it's got to be fascinating for you, I'm sure, to talk about writing the song. You go from a blank piece of paper or whatever I guess typing on a tablet or something. But I'm just saying, you go from nothing to writing this song to people listening to it or fans in a crowd enjoying the song. That's got to be something. It's got to be a milestone in your life, when you write a song that reaches people, touches people, but then you hear them singing the song or you see the reaction on their face in a crowd. That's got to be a high point, right? In
Yeah,
your life.
absolutely. I mean, that never gets old. It's or just seeing that, or seeing hearing reactions from fans, or getting messages about something touch somebody a certain way, or help them heal, or help them get through something, or just it was a nice song for them to listen to on while they were driving, or whatever it was. Yeah, that's super special.
Sure. In a song like Walk Another Mile, I was thinking about just that old school sound to me, and lyrically and vocally and musically, it just sounds like something from the 80s or early 90s. So why do you think that that kind of music is kind of being overlooked on a lot of places? I mean, radio stations aren't what they used to be, and why do you think that's not the craze? I mean, what, it's almost like you have to find a hidden gem to appreciate music instead of it being in your face. A lot of the music's in your face and they push it on you. But I
Yeah.
think to me, the best songs are something that you just happen to see or hear somewhere. Why do you think that that's not being pushed, the music like that's not being pushed like it used to be?
Yeah, it's I feel like it's a complex, I don't know if there's an easy answer to that. I think it has to do with the way our media is being presented and how media has changed so much. And the way stuff is organized, with playlists and not albums, and people don't are maybe in general are encouraged not to think as deep or to dig as deep. like, there's a little bit more of a quick fix mentality. The attention spans have gotten shorter with social media. I mean, it's a double-edged sword because it's also a quick and beautiful way to get stuff out to people in a hurry, but I think it's a double-edged sword. I think, society in general has changed in a lot of ways, in terms of what people's priorities are. And yet I feel at the same time as though, like you said, when things aren't necessarily getting pushed, but then when people do hear something that resonates with them, they're like, man, this is great. So, that those audiences are still out there. I think people are still craving it. I think that there is still the desire and the want for, for lack of a better way to put it, music that's honest and music with that has integrity, and that music, is coming from, a place, of sincerity, and that has, a high level of musicianship to it. I think there's certainly still a place for it, but yeah, it's not an easy question.
Sure. And as we just approached a brand new year now. I know you've got your album out, that you've been releasing some songs, like the new song. And what about how do you look at the future, the year? Do you have like goals that you go, I want to do this. I want to do this year. This is a biggie. What is that biggie that you want to have this year?
Well, it's probably a combination of things. I mean, I'm always creating. And, so, I mean, I have a couple of different ideas for new material, and it's usually, I don't always have the whole blueprint figured out, but I can say that I definitely want to, I'm going to be releasing new material. I love arranging. I mean, I do mostly original music, but you probably noticed a couple covers sprinkled in. And I'm really intrigued by the idea of taking a song that's been written by somebody else and reforming it and rearranging it, kind of almost taking arranging to the level of composition, kind of throwback to people like Gil Evans, the stuff he did with, Miles Davis, and even what he did with like some Hendrix tunes and stuff. But just the idea of like, I have these really sort of novel ideas on how to take a song that already in existence, but just kind of turn it inside out and, kind of put a certain personal stamp on that. So I've had thoughts, that when a third album comes out, that it would be maybe a little more of a balance of cover songs, quote unquote covers, and original songs, but still with sort of like the original blueprint on them. And I'd like to do more videos and videos for existing songs. And then
Sure.
I have a song called Tested on my album, Walk Another Mile, and I'd love to do a gospel arrangement of that with a gospel choir. I'm really excited about that idea.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's something I always wanted to do. I always think about the gospel choir. I'm a big fan of Foreigner. I want to know what love is, and they're singing in the background, the choir. To me,
Right.
that's like big. And that was all. That's always been a dream to have like a full choir singing in that gospel.
Yeah, and I think that song lends itself really well to it.
Oh,
I can envi I can really envision that. Yeah.
there you go. I mean,
So I don't know if there's like one biggie or there's a bunch of things that are going to kind of all sort of string together into like, the next sort of chapter, so to speak. But
well, at least you got
either way,
out
it's
there.
pretty fun. What's that?
You've got them out. You've got them all put out there. You just got to
Yeah.
go and make and target everything.
Yeah.
Well, tell everybody how they can get your new album and your music and check you out and find out. Are you playing anywhere coming up
So
or?
I'm working on a couple of things. There's So we're looking at a few different ideas for some things in the spring and the summer, but there's nothing actually scheduled at this point. And we're really looking at I'm mostly like spending time in the studio and recording, kind of getting my ducks in a row for like what the next tour is going to be. So yeah, it's more like kind of in the process of putting those ducks in a row. But as far as being able to find my music and get the album, you know, that's lawrenceelder.com, and that's Lawrence with a U, LAURENCE, ELDER. All the music's available on Spotify. You can buy the album on the website, you know, pretty much all your digital platforms, Apple Music, pretty much the place you'd expect to. YouTube channel, and there's some videos on there and that type of thing. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for talking to me today. And like I said, you got some great music, and I've been checking it out. I'm looking forward to hearing more and seeing what you do in the future. And I'm excited for you. And but
Yeah.
like I thank you for talking to me today.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time, Gary. I appreciate your questions and you know, really just insightful sort of observations on stuff. And it's always a pleasure having conversations like this. So, you know, look forward to doing it again, and appreciate your interest in the music.
Sure, I'll be here. Yeah, we'll do it again. And whenever you got some new stuff coming out, and we'll talk about it some more.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted. I'll definitely have more information on that coming soon.
All right, Lawrence, I appreciate you.
All right, you too.
Take care.
You too, bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode, everybody. I appreciate you. Yeah, Lawrence Elder, very talented guy. Check out his brand new album. Walk Another Mile in his website for more information and on social media. And until next time, everybody, always remember to keep the music real.